Hello and welcome to That's My Purse Pod. This is the podcast all about King of the Hill. My name is Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Yeah, so we missed last week due to a variety of emergencies, but we're back now and we're back on our schedule. How was your past week or two?
Well, a tornado landed a mile away from me, which is really interesting. That's kind of one of the most interesting things that happened to me this past week.
I don't know that I've ever seen a tornado in real life. Like, I honestly can't think of a time that I have. I think I've always been like on the wrong side of town. Cause you know, sometimes I think like, especially in South Texas, they get like some of the smaller tornadoes that only last like a few minutes. So if you're not on that side of town, you're not going to be affected by it. So yeah, I've never actually had to deal with it. I think my friend who was visiting here was flying back to Austin, and they had to essentially like circle around East Austin for an hour before they could land because of the storm.
Yeah, it landed. I wasn't even, I guess this says a lot about me. I was playing a video game with some friends at the time, and then the game ended, and then I got a text message from another friend being like, "Are you okay?" And then I went on the news and I saw the clip of the tornado landing. I was like, that's the Walmart down the street from me where the tornado landed. Ew. Strange.
Yeah, we just had rain here, so not much to complain about in that aspect.
The weather is a fickle mistress. You never know what she's going to bring you.
Yeah, I think so. It's starting to warm up a little bit here, but then we always get like false spring in San Francisco where it'll warm up a little bit for a day or two, then all of a sudden it'll go back to being cold. So it's a lot of back and forth, and you're never dressed properly. You're just never dressed properly for San Francisco.
I'm ready for shorts weather here in Texas. We've been kind of moving out of the winter, so I'm ready to break out the shorts again. These legs need sunlight.
Yeah, I honestly never wear shorts. I do in the house, but like normally I don't wear shorts in public, which is a fun thing to think about.
Yeah. I mean, I love wearing shorts just cause I like a nice breeze. I don't think I have amazing legs, but I like to have the wind hit my legs. I don't know. I guess that's weird, but that's what I enjoy. I enjoy what I enjoy.
Yeah. I think what you're saying is actually kind of normal, like wanting to wear shorts in the hot weather. I think I'm the bizarre one who's still wearing jeans when it's like summertime.
Well, I don't know. Jeans in summer, that could be a thing. You need to, you should invent some jeans that where the pants, like the bottom part of the pants rip off.
They actually used to have those. They very well still might, but I remember that was a thing that I would wear when I was like, I don't know, in middle school. So like in the early 2000s, that was a thing. Like you can wear these baggy pants that had a, like the at the knee there was a zipper, so you can like unzip the legs, and then now you just have baggy pants. Or now you just have baggy shorts, rather.
But not in the denim material. Or was it denim?
I could have sworn I had one denim. Now, I think most of them were like the cargo short kind of khaki or material or whatever. But I feel like I had denim once.
Are cargo shorts out? Because you saying that makes me want to get a pair. I love having lots of pockets. I feel like cargo shorts. Or cargo pants. Something I would be into. I don't know if they still make those.
I think they do. I always like those because I even if I wasn't like working or anything, I just like the option of having a bunch of pockets just in case I need them. Like I don't know if when you know that day will come where like you know. I don't know, some like Pokemon truck blows up or something and I need to like, you know, stash them all somewhere or whatever.
Like the Pokemons?
Yeah, well, like the toys, you know, like, oh, okay. I mean, I would, yeah. No, not actual Pokemon. As far as I know, they don't exist yet.
They might be real. Some scientists. They might be real, and then they digitize them. They find them in the like the deep rainforest, and then they digitize them and upload them into video games. That's why we don't see them in the real world.
Yeah, I imagine a significant portion of the rainforest hasn't been explored. Heck, a good portion of like the majority of the ocean, for that matter, hasn't been explored. So there is a real good chance that theoretically, we can't prove that Pokemon aren't there, so they could very well be in those areas.
Mm-hmm. But how was your past couple weeks?
Not too shabby. Not much too... Well, let me see. I did go on like some long walks and explore different neighborhoods this past weekend, which is kind of cool. I went ahead and... Recently, it's like a two-week... Or it's like a two-month project. But within the past 2 months, I've started brewing my own kombucha and like... Finally, it was ready to drink, so I tried it today, and it was actually really good.
You made your own kombucha?
Mm-hmm. The first attempt failed, and I wound up having to start all over again. After like 5 weeks of growing the SCOBY, it was molded, so I had to just throw it all away and start from scratch, so that had another 5 weeks there. And then from there, it was fine, so it's like, okay, cool, let's do first fermentation. Did first fermentation, did second. And then now my drinks taste awesome.
That must be the most hipsterist thing I've ever heard in my life.
I guess it's up there. I did have a friend many, many years ago who brewed his own beer at home. He never got it right. He never got it quite right. It never tasted good. But gotta give credit where credit's due for attempting it.
I think beer is one level, and then kombucha is slightly above that, and the homebrew of hipsterness. I think we need to get you a patch or something. I make my own kombucha.
I drink plenty of it. I figured at some point I should at least try to make it myself, see what happens.
Oh man, I can't wait to see you at the farmer's market. What would you name your kombucha?
I don't know. Maybe I'd name them all after, like, King of the Hill characters or something. I'm still trying to think. It's like, I don't want to just name them, like, boring things like raspberry and pomegranate and apple or whatnot. I want to do, like, blends. Like, blend different flavors. But then I also want to, like, you know, have some zany names or whatever. But I guess I just need to think about it, like, I don't know. Goofy grape, but that's not that good. But give me a little while to workshop it, and I'll figure it out.
All right, I'm going to ask you at the end of not this podcast, but the end of our series of podcasting of King of the Hill. Maybe you'll have something by then.
Just mentioning Goofy Grape. It just reminded me of an old commercial. When I say old, I mean it like predates us. I think it's from like the 60s or something. It's like, I can't remember the name of the drink, but it was very much like Kool-Aid, like one of those, you know, packets where you rip it open and pour the powder into your pitcher of water and you've got a refreshing drink. And they had different flavors, but they were all like, by today's standards, super, super offensive. Not all of them. But most of them were. So, it was called Funny Face. So it was Funny Face Drink Mix. You can still see the commercials on YouTube to this day. And they had two particular flavors that would have totally been canceled today. They had Injun Orange. And then they had Chinese Cherry. And then the picture of the cartoon cherry is like one of the most offensive caricatures of a Chinese person I think I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh, I'm looking at this right now. Is it weird that I'm like into the characters? They would have their own did they ever have their own animated series?
I don't think so. I think they just were like in the commercials, and then of course you could see them on the actual packets and stuff, but I don't know if they had an animated series. Maybe they did. I don't know.
Oh, man. Well, you are right, though. that Chinese cherry. It's like propaganda poster level.
Yeah, like probably, like they probably found an old artwork or old poster from like the days of the Chinese Exclusion Act and then just decided to like superimpose those pictures over a picture of a cherry.
Oh man, it's crazy. Now I kind of want to have one of these. Do you think they're good?
I don't know. Like I feel so like technically, so sugar itself never goes bad unless it gets wet. So a lot of that powder is sugar. I don't know what else is in there, but you know, you might be able to find something. I think yeah, I don't know when they stopped production. It looks like they stopped in 1994, but then like in New England, another company was making it until like 2001. So it's been off the market for at least 20 years.
Okay, I found one on eBay of the grape, Goofy Grape, $60 for one pack. Strawberries, $75. Gosh, is it worth it?
Go for it. You can say you have a piece of racist history.
Oh, but I want to drink it, though. That would just be...
It's like the Futurama, where he buys the anchovies, which could be used to make like the like an infinite amount of cheap robot oil, but instead he chooses to eat it.
Yes. Oh, because he puts it on his pizza, right? Yeah. Well, if I was, I would have to wait for us to reunite. That way we can make this drink together. I feel like we need to... This is something, a duo thing.
Indeed. Well, while we're talking about funny faces, I guess we could talk about the humor in this episode, Meet the Propaniacs, Season 4, Episode 20. And ironically, this was aired on April 16th. So it was really close to actually being 420. So there you go. Fun fact, the more you know. And this is one of my favorite episodes. As far as I could, granted, everything on here is one of my favorite episodes. But as far as I could tell, or as far as I can remember, this is like probably the only time I could think of Hank and Bobby actually getting along, not getting along, but actually enjoying the same thing throughout the length of the episode, and neither one of them really ruining it, because a lot of times they'll like it and then somebody will ruin it, but this did not happen. So, but let's get started. So we start the episode with Connie reading the New York Times Magazine while Bobby does her toenails. She comments on the past lady doing a terrible job, or actually it was Bobby who made that comment and Connie just laughed. Connie wants to do the New York Times crossword puzzle. I mean, after all, that's what New York couples do on their Sunday, as Bobby points out, like Tony Randall and his wife. On the back of the magazine, he sees an ad and he is amazed, like he now knows exactly what he wants to do for summer camp. Connie flips the magazine over and sees the language camp ad and, you know, tells Bobby, hey, it's not as fun as they say it is. But then Bobby's like, no, I want it to go here. And there's like this, the Stage Door Pines Theater Camp, which is in the Catskills. And you have camp counselors who have credits such as Make Me Laugh and the Mike Douglas Show. Connie points out that it is still a camp, so there may be sports. And Bobby's like, I'll fake a groin pull. So some stuff to unpack there. One, I like the fact that they're like, hey, let's be a real New York couple. One theme that you see a lot in the show is that Bobby's not super thrilled about living in Ireland. There's only been a handful of episodes where he's actually like begrudging to the idea of living in Ireland. But there's also a lot of episodes where he just kind of falls in love with the idea of moving into New York or LA, which makes sense, because that's like, if you're going to be a comedian, those are probably the two best cities, especially in the time the show was airing, for you to be.
I like it that Bobby is... I find it weird that Bobby's doing Connie's nails out in the open. It feels like Hank would put a stop to this if he was kind of in the area.
True. I think they were in Khan's house, if I remember correctly, because we see like Hank mowing the lawn, and if I remember, it pans over to the next door neighbor's house. So, but then I guess
I must have missed it, because I thought that after Bobby sees it, maybe time jumps, because after Bobby sees it, I see him running to Hank and Penny. Yes. And they're sitting on the couch. But maybe, no, because that would have all been the same, unless they're in the loft area that Luann moves in and out of.
Yeah, because like the next scene, we see like Hank and Peggy are in their chairs. I kind of find it funny because they also have a couch, but they choose to sit in like these two chairs that are just right by each other. But whatever. They're watching TV. They're watching Dateline, which is ultimately something I would expect to see Hank watching. So Hank's watching Dateline, but he's like, oh, I've already seen this episode. The guy sneezes in the meat or something like that. And he walks back to the bedroom and he walks past Bobby's room and the door's ajar and he looks in and, you know, Bobby's underneath the blanket and reading a magazine and little, you know, flashlight kind of circle is showing. So clearly he's reading something that he's trying to hide. And so Hank comes in and he's like, you know, are you reading the gentleman magazines that your grandfather sent you? And then Hank pulls off the sheet, pulls away the magazine, and he sees it's the New York Times Magazine, published by the New York Times newspaper. Oh, Bobby, you know, he's upset, which I think is funny because Bobby next says that he wasn't reading the articles. He was just looking at an ad. So a lot of funny things there. One, the fact that Hank seemed more upset at the idea of Bobby reading the New York Times over reading like a gentleman's magazine was kind of funny. But then also Bobby's excuse, because like the, you know, the old trope of people watching or not watching, reading Playboy magazine or whatnot and saying, oh, I wasn't looking at the pictures. I was just reading the articles or whatever. But then you have Bobby saying, I wasn't reading the articles. I was just looking at the ads. So it's just, I don't know. It's just kind of funny because I think it really speaks to Hank's personality that New York, big city, liberal stuff is bad and not allowed in this house.
It's just, it's funny because this is Bobby's dream and Hank's like, oh, you don't have to worry about going to that. Because he does, procure a summer internship for Bobby to take at Strickland Propane. And if you've ever been an intern, and I love this part because Hank says, your payment is in, Now I can't remember what he says. Your payment is in education or something like experience. Your payment is experience. And that was my first internship. They were like, you're getting paid in experience. And I was like, that doesn't pay my bills.
So. And yeah. It's like, you get it. Yeah. He was like, you get paid in experience and that is tax free. But yeah, that was very funny because Bobby's upset. Bobby's like, I want to go. And then Hank's like, I don't fully understand this comedy camp, but I'm still going to have to say no. I already put in a good word for you to work at Strickland Propane. But Bobby's like, I don't want to be a tank wipe. And Hank's like, sure you do. So it's funny because Hank, this is just like an example of Hank really wanting Bobby to be like a miniature version of him. And again, like we've said in early episodes, Hank really does love Bobby. Don't get us wrong. Like it's clear in a lot of episodes that he does, but he also just kind of, you know, stuck in his ways and old fashioned. And he just wishes Hank would be, or I'm sorry, Hank just wishes that Bobby would be just like him or in whatnot, but it just doesn't happen. In fact, we go to we skip ahead to the next day, and Bobby is hanging out with Hank at the at Strickland Propane, and Hank's trying to teach Bobby about dip tube and valve and maximum fillable levels and all that stuff. And obviously, Bobby's not paying attention and asks to take a coffee break. So Hank lets him. Bobby sits down and sees some propane accessories, more specifically spatulas, and rolls up his shirt and grabs the spatulas and drums on his belly, playing Wipeout on his stomach. Joe Jack, who is the truck driver at Strickland Propane, likes it and enjoys it. But then Hank comes in and he's upset because, you know, those aren't toys. They're propane accessories. And while I might have been on a call with our 12th largest customer, somebody was watching you. And Hank points over to this picture of a, you know, guy in a 10-gallon Texas hat, which is Charlie Fortner, the president of the Texas Propane Gas Association. And yeah, it's funny because Hank's like in awe of this guy. It's just, I don't know, just it speaks so much to his character.
I don't know. Do you think Bobby wasn't listening? Because after Hank finishes, he's like, do you have any questions? And Bobby basically asks questions like, what is? And then he lists everything Hank says. So it feels like he was listening. He just finds this extremely boring.
That's fair. I think maybe you're right. He was listening and he just hated it. I mean, it's clear from the beginning, it's clear he didn't want to be there and he hated it. But, you know, Hank really wants Bobby to learn and be him. I mean, let's be honest. That's like Hank's big motivation. He wants Bobby to be just like him. So, but they take a coffee break and then Bobby becomes Bobby and tries to find a way to amuse himself. And Hank doesn't like it.
Jo-Jack is really into it though. Cause Bobby's banging, like hitting the spatulas on his stomach. It's like, it's a familiar beat. Yeah, I can't pinpoint the song right now. But Jo-Jack kind of gets up. And, is it Wipeout? So Jo-Jack gets up and he starts doing like, I don't know, is it the monkey dance? It's like with your arms up and down. So I really enjoyed that. And, you know, it's so weird that Hank's, this is their downtime. Why does Hank have to be such a, I know why Hank has to be such a prude, but they're on their break. They can kind of do what they want, right? Coffee breaks.
I guess I kind of got to side with Hank a little bit on that one because I don't know that I would, as a customer, I'd want to buy a spatula or pair of spatulas that have been, you know, drummed on a 12-year-old kid's belly. So I kind of see Hank's point on this one. I mean, yes, they can always sanitize it, but, you know, you don't want him to make a habit, or anybody else for that matter, to make a habit out of it.
I don't know. I feel like you should be washing your spatulas after you buy them. That's just my advice to the world.
Fair enough. Well, I guess now they're getting ready for their big grill extravaganza, which is like, I guess, their big sales day, kind of like how some of those car dealerships might have like Honda days or Ford sales, whatever. I don't know. I don't watch TV anymore. But yeah, you know, now they have that one. This is like real extravaganza is what they have there. And Hank mentions to his boss, Britt Buck Strickland, that they sold their last Wagner Char King Imperial. And the truck that is supposed to be delivering more, it has been delayed by an hour. Dale, being Dale, overhears this, and he becomes belligerent, saying, my satisfaction is dependent on being able to get a Char King Imperial, whatnot. And Hank's, you know, Hank's Hank. He's just tired of Dale's BS and whatnot. And then Dale starts his whole chant about bait and switch, and then, of course, everybody starts to join, and things start to look really bad for the grill extravaganza, and Bobby decides to save the day. So at first, he tries to do the wipeout thing again, but he's using spatulas that have actually been used to cook. So they're hot, and they burn him. And so that plan falls apart. So then he decides, I got another idea. He sees like an empty tank of propane. He puts it on his head, and he says he is the great gas head. And he decides to dance and do this little song and dance routine. And Peggy is worried because she's like, if Bobby makes fun of propane, man, Hank will just blow his top. But instead, Hank's just laughing. Like, this was a distraction that they needed. The audience was fine. The customers were fine. And then Hank was just laughing. He enjoyed the joke, which kind of threw Peggy off for a bit because Hank's just not the type of person to laugh at anything. And I think that's, I'm trying to remember, but I don't think there's been too many episodes where Hank laughs. So I think that's true.
Well, especially at propane.
Yeah. He's laughing. He's enjoying himself. He's just having a great time.
I love when Bobby's like, hand me the spatulas. And Jojack looks at him because he's flipping burgers. And they're clearly hot. And he's still handsome to Bobby.
Yeah, that was funny because it's like, Jojack, you work with propane. You know what the heat is. And you know what hot, what heat will do to a metal spatula. But I guess they were all just kind of in the moment and went with it and then weren't really thinking.
I do love Dale. I don't know if I love Dale, but I feel like Dale invited himself. I don't think he was there for any grills.
Oh, of course
not. But when he's like, bait and switch, and then you see him grab kind of this elderly lady, and he's like, bait and switch, and then she starts chanting it, mm-hmm. and then everyone goes into it. That's kind of my dream, though, to like start a chant.
You could do it one day. I guarantee you. You just got to keep trying.
That and the slow clap. Those are things that I want to start.
Yes, that would be fun to start a slow clap like in an airport or something like that. That would be fun. Never happened, but one day it might. So the Grillstravaganza ends, and Buck says that Bobby is funny, and he says, you know, I used to chase skirt with your granddaddy. He's a mean kind of funny, which to me, like, that, like, I would welcome a few prequel episodes or whatnot of Buck and Cotton just hanging out and going to gentlemen's clubs and gambling rings and all that stuff, because that would just be a funny show to watch. He does ask Bobby if he'll go to Strickland North to liven them up. He's like, it's a funeral parlor every time I go up there. Bobby thinks that, you know, they can do a few sketches and kind of like a not exactly improv because it's all planned, but, you know, kind of a comedy troupe, and they go around and they do jokes. And then Peggy's like, yes, you could be called the Propane Maniacs. And then Bobby's like, no, the Propaniacs. And it's funny because if you're paying attention, Peggy gets visibly mad that Bobby rejects the idea and that everybody likes Propaniacs versus Propane Maniacs. And then they all kind of do a on three, one, two, three, Propaniacs. But then Peggy still says Propane Maniacs. So, again, true to Peggy, very egotistical. So she's like, oh, this is, you know, I still think my idea is better. So I'm going to keep going with it until maybe you guys catch on.
It is great to see Peggy visibly upset. And I mean, can we give her like half credit? She, without her two words, we wouldn't have been able to marry them together. So I feel like she should have been happy with the, like, I helped us get here.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, I got you guys part of the way.
I'm surprised she wasn't like, yeah, that's what I said, Propaniacs.
Well, hey, that's who she is. She's just always upset. Or she has always she wants everybody to like her ideas, and she believes that her ideas are like the top of the top. But we jump forward a little bit. Bobby and Hank are back home washing Hank's truck. Hank tells Bobby that Strickland North is in the heart of charcoal country, so things there aren't great. You know, people are a little dissatisfied, if you want, or disheartened. Bobby says, well, you know, he will have to work on his material more and understand gas more. And then he's just like, you know, Dad, I don't really know what propane is. And then, you know, Hank kind of goes into this whole spiel where he's imparting the wisdom of the world on Bobby. It's like, well, no one really knows what street lady propane is, but this is what we do know. And then he just kind of goes on a tangent about how it's chemically composed and what it's used for and everything. And then, you know, it kind of does that fade that TV shows will do to let you know that some time has passed. And he's still talking, and then he's talking about crude oil, and then Bobby gets excited. He's like, all right, crude oil. It's got a K sound. You see, K is your funniest sound. Ketchup, kangaroo, crude vapor compressor. And then Hank laughs because there's two K sounds there. So it's like Bobby is teaching Hank about comedy, and then, of course, Hank is teaching Bobby about propane, and Peggy's looking out from the kitchen and sees it, and man, she's just happy because they're kind of bonding. And then Bobby explains the concept of ending a show. You know, you end on one big joke, and then all of a sudden you turn off the lights, and it's called blackout. So, you know, this is kind of a heartwarming thing, because this is like one of the few times where you see them actually just bonding, and nobody's like angry or annoyed at each of the other one.
Yeah, it's cool seeing them kind of get together, because Bobby's focusing a lot on the joke side, and Hank's focusing a lot on the propane side, but it seems to be working out between the two of them, that they're having a great kind of bonding moment. I love whenever Hank refers to propane as sweet lady propane.
Yeah, he's just, I don't know, it's weird because I don't know anybody who loves their job or anything that much, like in real life. I don't know anybody, like I like a lot of things. I don't love anything that much to where I like personify it and refer to it as like, oh, sweet lady Docker containers or whatever.
Yeah, Hank loves propane. Well, I don't even know. I don't know if he would marry it if it was a person. Probably, right?
Yeah, he probably would, I think. Like, there's a very good chance of it.
And is K the funniest sound?
I don't know. I've never heard of it being that way, because I don't know. Like I don't know that I've ever actually heard that. And I used to do stand-up comedy. Granted, I never like studied it. So I don't know, maybe that is the funniest sound, but I feel like that's something they just kind of made up for for the show. But you know, maybe like there's some people that is actually their belief that, hey, if you are using the K sound, it's funnier versus, I don't know, using the F sound or whatever.
That's a tough one. It's like, cuh. Kangaroo? I don't know. Kangaroo is not that funny to me. But, you know, what works for Bobby, because Bobby does get a lot of laughs, so maybe it is.
Yeah. Dale wants to actually be in the group. It's almost like in every episode, there's at least one alley scene, even if there's no real reason for there to be an alley scene where the guys are all drinking beer on the alley. Hank, Dale, Boomhauer, and Bill. So Dale has like his little, I guess, Casio piano or whatever, and he wants to be in the Propaniacs. But you know, Hank's like, I'm sorry, it's just strictly employees only. Well, that and Luann, Buck wouldn't buy the shirts unless she joined, which is funny because there's like a running gag that happens throughout the show of Buck liking Luann because she's really pretty and everything. But, you know, Dale's like, but I was born for this. And he plays off music as Bill walks around to get a beer. And it's actually kind of funny. So he's showing that, like, he makes good background music. So somehow he actually does wind up on the group. Hank walks into Bobby's room, and they're just both jazzed about the show. And, you know, Bobby's like, oh, I'm playing all the scenes in my head, and people are laughing. And Hank's like, oh, I hope they're laughing with propane and not at it. And he's like, oh, yeah, they're definitely. It's not like those bastard gases like butane, which causes Hank to laugh again. So, yeah, they're getting excited, and they're moving forward. We jump forward to the first few shows, and Dale is playing the piano for like the intro and the skits and all that. There are a few jokes that are part of their sketches, like a running hot dog and a baby in a diaper with a fart, quote unquote, gas problem, the gas cop, and then a parody of like the old Johnny Carson's Karnak, where they have Hazmat the Magnificent. And, you know, Bobby holds the envelope to his head and says, butane, charcoal, and your mother-in-law. Three things you hate to have on 4th of July. They were really getting into it. It was pretty funny. I kind of am upset that you only got to see the sketches for, like, a few seconds. Because I'm like, I'm actually kind of curious what a Propaniac show is like. It looked kind of funny, and I'm not even that big into propane.
The sketches were kind of, they were interesting. Gosh. I do remember, though, is it, man, now I'm trying to think if Bobby makes the fart joke here or if it's when they're later in the episode. I can't remember. Is it here where he makes the fart joke and then Peggy's like, Hank's, Bobby makes a fart joke about fart gas being different than propane gas or something. He does a chemical breakdown of both of them. And then Hank's laughing at this and Peggy's like, Hank, that's a fart joke. And Hank just loves that, you know, Bobby's including propane and propane's making people happy.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't help himself from laughing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hank's usually pretty uptight about that kind of stuff. So the fact that he's just laughing about a fart joke is actually pretty funny. Pretty nice, too, because it's nice just to see him, you know, relax and just be a person.
I also enjoy that. Is Bobby, I believe Bobby's in one of the Propaniacs t-shirts, like, while he's laying in bed.
Yes.
And I just love that, like, he's really excited for it. And I'm thinking in my mind, he's really happy because this is something Hank is on board with, too.
Yeah, this is one of the few tanks that Hank likes. And then also, like, it's something that Bobby likes. Like, Bobby isn't having to contort or anything like that, like, make it work for him. It's like he's actually doing something he enjoys. Yeah, it's about propane, but he is able to create sketches and just have a good time. Okay, yeah, so they go to Luli's, which is a parody of Luby's, which I guess technically still exists in Texas, but I thought they went bankrupt and they're closing down a lot of shops. But anyway, so they go to Luli's to celebrate, and Hank reads out a letter from the Texas Propane Dealers Association, and Charlie Fortner has invited the Propaniacs to perform at their annual trade show. Joe Jack is losing his cool because he never met a president before. We kind of cut over to the Arlington Hotel, because that's where it takes place. And Arlington's kind of in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, just for those of you non-Texans who are out there. So they're in the motel, and they're kind of planning their sketch and stuff. And Hank suggests bringing Charlie Fortner on stage and having him either be the gas cop, but they're like, oh no, it'd be funnier if he was arrested by the gas cop. Joe Jack, who plays the gas cop, is getting super nervous because he's like, oh, I don't want to frisk Mr. Fortner, and he doesn't want a person like me touching him. I'm just a truck driver. So they move forward. They're at the actual event. So they're getting ready, and nobody can see Joe Jack. Luann mentions that he was in the parking lot drinking from his mini canteen and smashing car windows. And so Hank is like, oh, he must have pre-show jitters. And so, you know, Hank goes ahead and tells Dale, you know, hey, don't start the show. We're waiting on Joe Jack. And then Dale accidentally pushes like one of those auto play buttons on his piano. And he's like, oh, I can't stop it. And so they just kind of have to go with the flow. Hank steps in for Joe Jack as the gas cop for the gas cop sketch. And he's asked Charlie Fortner to come on stage and be arrested for having an inferior fool. Charlie isn't interested. You know, he's just like, oh, I'm fine, thanks. He just doesn't want to participate for whatever reason. Maybe he just doesn't want to play. I don't know. But anyway, Hank's like, oh, no, it'll be fun. So he just keeps going, and he goes down, and he pulls Charlie Fortner up on stage and pins him against the wall, and everybody's laughing, but Charlie's clearly not enjoying this. Out of nowhere, Joe Jack shows up. He is drunk, and he is in his big baby outfit, wearing a diaper, and then he just drops the diaper, revealing that he is not wearing anything underneath. And then he's like, oh, baby lost the diaper. Do you have a spare one? And then Hank decides to keep the show going, and it's like, the baby asked you for a diaper. And, you know, Charlie's just not having it. He is not enjoying it and asking Hank to stop. So then Hank frisks Charlie. So Hank continues. He frisks Charlie, but then he learns that Charlie wears diapers. So Hank gets a little flabbergasted and calls for the blackout. So a lot happened here, and it's kind of funny because it was one, I liked seeing Hank kind of just step into the role. Granted, I mean, it's debatable as to why he did it, because he's definitely not the theatrical type, but at the same time, he's also the, you know, we got to get the job done type. So he was like, oh, Joe Jack isn't here, so somebody has to do this.
Yeah, I'm surprised of, because before they go perform at this propane event, they're going to all these Strickland propanes. I didn't know Strickland had, he always seems to be at this location. So I thought he only had one, but clearly he has like five or six of them.
Yeah, it's really inconsistent in the show how many he has, because, you know, I think canonically he has five different Strickland shows, or Strickland dealerships, but it sounds like every once in a while we'll talk about how he lost one in a card game or whatever. So it's one of those things where you rarely ever see the other Stricklands. I think this might actually be the only episode where you ever actually go into another Strickland propane. The only one you ever see is the one that Hank works at.
And also, don't you feel like someone would have been like, someone smashing all the car windows out here in the parking lot?
Yeah. You actually see it like briefly in the background. You hear a crash before Hank reaches down to grab the cop hat. And then you could see like a car with a cracked windshield in the background.
Oh, man. And like, people do not like audience participation sometimes. When they were like, come on up, he's like, nope. I feel like that should have been the sign of maybe pick someone else. Or this is going awry. But Hank really wants to make this work. He really wants the propaniacs to work.
Yeah. Well, that, I think he also is just not theatrical, so he doesn't know how to like work with the person not wanting to participate. I think that's really what it boiled down to, is he already had in his mind that Charlie Fortner was going to be in the sketch and he was going to love it and everything. And so when Charlie Fortner was like, nope, have no interest. It just kind of threw him off, and he was like, nope, you got to do it.
Also, you know, we don't really have to frisk people when we're acting like frisky. Hank goes in and he grabs some butt.
Yeah, he does.
Just fill the diaper.
Like, he even, like, pins him hard against the wall. Which, it's just like, dude, it's just a sketch. You don't have to be that hard.
Oh, I can't imagine being in the audience during this part. This is super cringe, all of this that's going on right now. Like, on stage, you're just like, I can't. It's one of those things you're like, I can't look away, but I do not want to watch this.
Yeah. Well, then I don't think the audience was laughing, so, you know, whatever. But I don't think Charlie was having a good time, which makes sense. But, yeah, it's just funny because on one hand, Hank, that's just not Hank's personality to be a theater guy, but he jumps into it. But then he also clearly is like out of his element when all of this stuff happens. And like when things just go off the rails, I mean, to give him some credit, he tried to keep things going. Like, the baby asked you for a diaper, Mr. Pee Pee Poo Poo Pants or whatever. And so it's like, you know, to his credit, he tries to make it work, but it's clearly that he is not a professional.
I wish he would have thrown in some K words. Like, he's like, I don't know what's going on, but I know K sounds funny. So here's some K, like kangaroo, blackout, everyone.
Yeah, or if he's just like, yeah, just randomly saying words like cake or whatever. I don't know. Just to, like, pass the time, like, cake, crude compressor or whatever.
Yeah.
But we jump forward. Hank is at Charlie Fortner's office. He has like a teddy bear and flowers, or not flowers, but a teddy bear and balloons. I guess he's trying to make good. And, you know, Hank's pretty much trying to beg for forgiveness. And he says that, you know, he didn't know that Charlie wore diapers. But then Charlie's like, you know, a guy walks onto the stage wearing a diaper, then asks me for a diaper. That has to have been planned. And Hank's insisting that it was just a very, very bizarre coincidence. But then Charlie threatens and says, you know what, if you continue doing the show, I will make sure that you go back to selling dungarees at Jeans West. So, you know, pretty much threatening his job. And so Hank tries to make good on it and being like, if it makes you feel better, I wear diapers too. But then Charlie's like, which brand is the most absorbent? And Hank doesn't have an answer. And then so he kicks him out of the office. Hank comes home and Bobby is showing a new bit. And Hank doesn't laugh. And Bobby's like, oh, man, you dad must not have liked it. But then Hank's like, oh, no, it's funny. In fact, it might be the funniest thing I ever saw. But looks like we can't do the show anymore. Charlie Fortner won't let us. And Bobby is upset because, you know, Bobby's like, well, first you wouldn't let me go to the camp. Then you forced me to go to your propane store. And when I finally found something about it that I like, you let Charlie take it away. And you can see that Bobby is really hurt. And Hank is hurt and sad, too. Hank even pulls out this little photo album that they put together that shows all these pictures of them doing propaniac stuff on the road. And, you know, it really upsets them. It's probably one of the few times that Hank and Bobby really bonded. Well, Peggy mentions that the propaniacs, I'm sorry, Peggy actually does say propane maniacs. So she says the propane maniacs can actually perform in places where Charlie Fortner has no power. So they can go to like ball games and malls and movie theaters and stuff like that. And Hank's like, yes, there are over 60 million propane users in the country. And Peggy's like, I think you mean 6 million. And he's like, you want me to get the book? And she's like, yes. Which that makes me laugh because it's like, I'm pretty confident Hank would have that number memorized. But then Peggy's like, granted, I'm kind of on Peggy's side too, because it's like 60 million sounds like a lot of propane users. But, you know, also Hank probably has it memorized. And I like how he's just so confident. Let me get the book.
I'm hoping that this is, I don't know if we ever see this kind of thing again with the Hank and Peggy in the book or any looking up anything, but I, in my mind, I want it to happen all the time that they're disagreeing on a fact and there's no real stakes on it, but one of them has to be right.
Yeah, and also the whole thing about, you know, want me to get the book. Like, what book? Is it the encyclopedia? Do they actually have, like, the big book of propane? I mean, I'm almost positive Hank does. Like, there's no way Hank doesn't have, like, an entire Encyclopedia Britannica set dedicated to nothing but propane.
Yeah, I don't... Well, I mean, I definitely think they have a lot of books. Or maybe they no, because Hank said he's going to bring out the book. Because they do have the computer in the water heater area or in that closet.
I guess. I mean, it seems like it would be in his character to have like an entire 20 book set on propane and the history of propane and all of that.
But we never do figure out because they don't show us
that's
who's
true.
Right in this moment.
That's true. We're going to have to actually look it up later. Maybe I will.
And then insert it here.
Yeah. Well, so I'm actually on the npga.org site, and they claim 50 million American homes use propane. So either there's been a decrease over the past 20 years, or Hank was wrong. But then Peggy was wrong, too. In fact, Hank was probably closer.
Well, I know I switched from propane to... would.
Well, you would make Hank upset.
Yeah. I know, but that would
if
be
we
my...
were doing Price is Right rules, though, Peggy would win because you can't go over the number, so.
I feel like they would be going by that set, though.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, Hank goes to Bobby's room and tells them that they're going to reunite in the Arlen Mall on Sunday. He actually does it in a pretty bad way because he tries to do like the Hazmat the Magnificent, but instead of doing it like the proper way where you name three random things and then the question comes first or comes afterwards, he's just like, the Propaniacs, this Sunday, the Arlen Mall. Then he opens the envelope. Who's reuniting this Sunday at the Arlen Mall? So he clearly just doesn't get the joke, but it, you know, A for effort. But yeah, and then Bobby is like, you mean it? Well, what about Charlie? What about Charlie Fortner? And then then Hank's like, the only guy in a diaper that I care about is Joe Jack and the Big Baby sketch. And so Bobby's super excited and he does a little dance. They're at the food court at the mall and they do the gas cop scene. And the jokes just are not landing with the audience at all. You know, Bobby is pulled over. He's frisked. He has charcoal on him. He's actually a charcoal dealer and whatnot. And just nobody is enjoying this. Bobby's getting nervous because, like, nobody's laughing at his joke. They're kind of just staring at him and then going back to eating. However, Hank is just laughing. Laughing hardcore, like just belly laugh. Bobby then feels better knowing that he's making his dad laugh, and he just keeps going. Bobby actually changes his body positioning, and he's no longer facing the audience. He's actually facing Hank as he does the remainder of the joke, as if he's just performing for him specifically. And then, of course, the episode ends on Hank's laughter. So I think it ended on a nice note because, you know, Bobby is making Hank laugh, and he's like, you know what? This is some. I like comedy. I'm making my dad laugh. This is something that, I'm fine with this.
Yeah, it definitely feels like Bobby was. If Hank wasn't laughing, Bobby would definitely would have walked off stage. But something about, I guess the approval that Hank is giving Bobby, you know, that like, I really love what you're doing up there on stage. And I don't want to seem like Hank is like this bad father, but I think Bobby really loves it when Hank shows him that appreciation or that he has that moment where he's making his dad happy and proud in that moment.
Yeah. Well, and also just, I think the fact that almost everything we see with Hank, he doesn't seem like a fun guy. So to speak. So, you know, I think Bobby seeing his dad just have genuine belly laugh, which I don't think you ever see in the show aside from this episode, if I recall correctly. Like, that's just, Bobby was just finally happy because I think he's like, oh, there's finally some kind of comedy we can relate to.
Yeah. And it's good to see Hank laugh. And I love, it's Hank laughing, and then they kind of pan towards the mall audience, and they're just eating their food, not even knowing what's going on up there.
Yeah, the mall audience just checked out. They're like, I don't care at all. Like, this is weird. Why are they doing propane jokes up here? I don't know. To me, this is like one of the better episodes of King of the Hill. I mean, all of them are great, especially the 50 that we're going to go through. But just seeing, like, Hank and Bobby actually bond over something, and there's just, like, nobody's trying to take over from anybody else and whatnot. They're just kind of enjoying each other. That to me, it's, like, amazing for the episode.
Yeah, especially because it ends on such a great note. Like, no one lost what they were doing. Everyone was still having fun at the end. Bobby and Hank were still enjoying this, the propane maniacs, as Peggy would like it to be. So it just feels like an overall great episode because we did have Jojack breaking some car windows. But at the end of the day, everything kind of worked out for Bobby and Hank.
Yeah.
They got to still have this moment to bond together.
I do kind of like how Hank, going back to Jojack breaking car windows, you never actually see him do it. They just tell you that he does it, and you kind of hear it in the background. But I do like how Hank's just kind of nonchalant about it. He's just like, oh, he must have pre-show jitters instead of thinking like, why is Jojack committing a crime? I don't know. That just made me laugh a little bit because it just seemed antithetical to Hank. Because this is the same guy who, like, I've won one episode. He's, like, making sure he has expressed written consent from, like, Major League Baseball or whatever to record the TV, record the episode. I'm sorry, record the game.
That's great. That's funny. I do enjoy that you get to hear the windows breaking in the background.
Yeah, I think it kind of brings it home, the whole, I don't know, craziness of it all. Jojack, he's like, I want to say he's my favorite, but he's definitely up there as like one of the better minor characters of the show. I guess what would you call him, like a minor recurring character? Because there's characters who are smaller, but yeah, he's one of my favorite minor ones.
Yeah, because he'll come back. We'll definitely see him again.
Oh, absolutely. He's like a regular.
Unlike some of these propane people, there's like two of them in there that we never see again working the business.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Donna is gone, but replaced by another person named Donna. Because later, this was like a black woman who was Donna. And then in later episodes, it's like a white brunette who's Donna. So I like to think that instead of them like changing the race of the cast, like the old Donna quit accounting, and then they happen to hire a new girl named Donna.
But overall, yes, this is like one of the, I would say one of the top episodes. Now that I'm thinking about it,
yeah, and it's still pretty early in this show's run. It's like the fourth season, so. I mean, we're going to be doing a lot of good episodes, but this is definitely one of my favorites, as we said before. But yeah, I think that's all we've got for today. We'll be doing yet another episode, sneak peek for those who are interested. Let me see here. The next episode. Oh, we're going to finally meet. Well, we're going to meet the Super Newsom phones for the first time. So looking forward to that one. Until then, I am Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.